So we're here this morning and we're going to talk about a harvest theme for your Harvest Festival service. Me and Joseph are very grateful for this food we will take back with us. We'll endeavour not to eat it before we get back to Leeds, but we will get it back safe and sound. But thank you for that. Now, we're going to look at that passage together in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you've got your Bibles. We're titling the sermon this morning, Jesus, Lord of the Harvest. Harvest time is always an amazing time on the farm. Back in Leeds, we have a farm where Caring for Life is based, on the north side of Leeds, and we've got cattle and sheep and horses. Haven't got too many crops, but we've got quite a large area of gardens, which we use for producing our own food to give to people in our care and providing meals. My background is farming. I'm very passionate about farming. I love farming. I don't have to have so much involvement hands-on nowadays. My role's rather changed, but I love everything about farming. Not the frustrating bit of farming I don't enjoy, but I enjoy the fruits of our labours. But harvest time is an amazing time. We see nature at this time of year all coming together, showing us what our hard work has all been all about. The grass from a stubby little plant grows to being a long waving crop blowing in the wind. We see the straw and the wheat standing tall ready for cutting. And if everything comes right, if it all comes right, then we've got plenty of feed and bedding for our animals. That's what we hope. And that's going to please them, and it's going to please me no end too. Now, it sounds really easy, doesn't it? Let's just hop in a tractor, go into the field, cut the grass down, chop the straw down, stick it in a bale, throw it in the barn. Job done. Easy peasy. Well, it's not quite that easy, I'm afraid. Farming is not that easy, because sadly in England, we don't have a shortage of something, do we? What's that? Did I hear rain then? Yes, absolutely, rain. Sometimes I think we should be growing rice in this country, never mind the crops that we do. We should be producing, we should be setting up paddy fields because we are so wet. It's really awful. Now, my family, I've got two little girls, and we went to Devon for our holiday this year, camping holiday. We like going camping, or sometimes we like going camping. And we went to Devon. I've never been to Devon before. Beautiful place. Now, I packed the trailer, put the tent into the trailer, and off we went. And we found a nice campsite, pitched the tent. You know what happened when I pitched my tent? It rained. But even worse than that, summer stopped. For 2 weeks, it stopped completely. We had the biggest washout ever. It was absolutely awful. Now, whenever I get my tent out, not just this summer, whenever I get my tent out, it rains. There should be a national weather alert whenever I get my tent out. I think I might inform them next time I'm going to Cornwall or Devon that I'm going there, and they can let you all know not to book your holidays when I'm there. But every time we go on holiday, I say the same thing to my lovely wife. I say, we're never going to do this again. I'm sick and tired of all this bad weather. I've had enough of it. But like most amazing wives, and mine is, she has an amazing memory for things that I've said, and she doesn't let you off the hook. I see her husband over there smiling. He obviously has the same problem with me. And my wife, like I'm sure a lot of wives, likes to watch the pennies. And like me, likes to spend the money we have. And when I say to Pam, I say, I've had enough of this. We're not going to do this again. She says to me, she's always a worry when she says, you said. She said, you said we'll get 10 years out of this tent. You'll get 10 years out of this tent, so we're going to get our money's worth, whatever you say. Me and my big mouth, eh? Now then, I apologise, therefore, for the bad summers that we've been having. It is my fault, and I profusely apologise. But I can guarantee, in 3 years, the hot summers will be coming back because that tent will be in the bin. I guarantee you. But we do struggle in this country with bad weathers, don't we? Bad summers. Now, if you're involved in farming, are there any farmers in here? Two. You and me. Fantastic. Is that right? You're a farmer. Three of us. We're all right. We've got three farmers in now. We're involved in farming, as I've said, back in Leeds in quite a big way. It's a big part of our work and ministry. Having these wet summers reminds me and reminds us of just how dependent we are on the Lord for everything good that he gives. And just how totally reliant we are upon him to answer our prayers, to give us that little break in the weather that we need to get in our crops. The fact that our supermarket shelves are full of food often makes us forget that we're totally reliant upon him for everything that we need. And for that food to be on our shelves and that food to be in that corner, we've needed a good spell of weather to get it in. We are totally at the mercy of our Lord to bless us with all that we need. especially in this country. So here we are today with your harvest gifts, the gifts that you're going to be giving to the Lord's work, to us back in Leeds, and we're very grateful for that, and we thank you for it. But let's go back to this passage in 1 Corinthians 3, and let's read it together. 1 Corinthians 3, 5 to 9. What after all is Apollos, and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe. As the Lord has assigned to each his task, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God, who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labour. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building. There's three things I want us to look at this morning. Firstly, your role in the field. Secondly, God's job in the field. And the third one, the joy of the harvest. Paul is speaking here, as Mike introduced, to this wonderful group of Christians in a place called Corinth. These folk did many things wrong, but they also did many things right. And the Apostle Paul really loved these people. He thought the world of these people. And he worked tirelessly to guide and instruct these Christians who, at times, were getting things quite off track. But Paul had been having to deal here in this letter with divisions and arguments. These Christians were arguing about who they were going to follow in this growing Christian community. And they were a growing Christian community. And Paul recognises that divisions and arguments only do harm to the gospel cause. People get hurt and the gospel cause is damaged. And sadly, it's the same today. Just like today, we can get bogged down in the church with worldly disagreements, and we can lose focus of what the church is all about, and that is Jesus Christ. The church of God, this church, just like any other church in this world, is about one thing, and that's Jesus Christ. It's all about him. Nothing else, it's about him. One of our trustees at Caring for Life is a pastor from Liverpool. He has a wonderful way of describing what the church is not. He says, it's not about gongs and bongs and bells and smells. He's not. It's not about pastors. It's not about preachers. It's not about evangelists. It's not about youth workers or teachers. It's not about hats or smart clothes. It's not about which denomination you're involved with. It's not about which particular persuasion you prefer to the other. It's not about that. It's all about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And here, Paul is using a farming illustration to explain what our responsibility, if we call ourselves a Christian, is in winning souls for the kingdom of God. And he, as I said, is having to be dealing with these folk, arguing about who they're going to follow. Whose way is best? Is it Apollos or is it Paul? Whose way is the best? And Paul is saying, what are you doing? What are you arguing about here? We're all following the same Lord. We're all in it for him. We all have our heroes, don't we? Those of us that are Christians, we have our Christian heroes too. And we say, well, if we follow his way, then we're definitely going to be getting it right. But if we follow that other person's way, we're definitely going to be getting it wrong. We have our own ways of doing things, and often we emulate people or try and follow people's examples. And Paul here is saying, no. We all may have different tasks in the church. We all may have different gifts, but we're all working together towards the same outcome. We all have exactly the same goals. In verse 7, it says this, the Lord has assigned each to his own task. And that brings us to our first point, which is, what is your role in the garden? Or what is your role in the field? Now, in the field or in a garden, there are many tasks that people can get involved with. And we've got on the farm loads of different gardens, lots of different types of gardens. Some sensory gardens to stimulate people's sound and smell and touch so that people can come and enjoy those gardens. But there's lots of different jobs that people can get involved in. There's digging and ploughing. There's hoeing or harrowing. Some have to maintain the tools and the equipment that we use on the farm. Some have to plant the seed or drill the seed if you're using a tractor. And then weeding is an ongoing task. That's an awful job, is weeding. What a monotonous job. But there's loads and loads of jobs that you can get involved with in a field or in a garden. And as the plants grow, they need tending to, they need caring for, they need water, they need feed, and as I say, weeding is an ongoing job. And if care is taken at this early stage, and that's continued, then at the end of the day, we're going to see fruits of our labours. We're going to see lovely plants that we can enjoy in the gardens, and plants that we can eat too. And then if all of that goes well, At the end of the day, everybody can get involved in the harvesting, in bringing in the crop. Now, not everybody is good at harrowing, hoeing. Not everybody's good at digging. Not everybody's good at planting seeds. But everybody works together with one goal in mind, to bring in a good harvest at the end of the day, whatever that harvest may be. On the farm, we have, at different times of the year, groups come. Corporate groups like ASDA and HBOS, different kind of groups come up and give a day or 2 days work on the farm. It's fantastic. We get loads of jobs done. Sometimes the groups can be as big as 60 or 70 people. Massive task getting them organised, but they do a good job most of the time. We have some ponds on the farm which we have created. And one particular group came up at the beginning of this year to plant some aquatic plants in the ponds. And we set them to, showed them how to do it and set them going, and we went back and checked. And at the end of the day, we went back to check what they got up to. And you know what they'd done? They'd planted the plugs upside down. Very clever. They weren't very good at planting at all. We'll not have them doing that. They can take the plants to the people who are better than them at planting the plants. But they planted these aquatic plants upside down, so we had to sort out the problem. Now think of this church. Think of all the different tasks and ministries that go on from this church throughout the week, throughout the year. You know, all are equally as important as one another. All of them are. And we're all working towards the end goal, which is to see a harvest brought in for the glory of God. Whether you preach, whether you teach, whether you're the person that cleans the floors, we're all equal and we're all working towards the same goal, and we have that in mind as we work. And in a church context, the tending to or the caring for the crop is called love. It's a tiny word with a massive meaning, love. The most important thing of any church community is love. That small word with a massive meaning. Jesus said this in the Bible. He said, love one another as I have loved you. Think how much Jesus loved you in dying on the cross. That is a massive charge for any of us to love like that. If we get that right, I can guarantee we will see blessing in our own lives and in our churches. We have to be concerned. We have to be considerate. We have to put other people first. We must be gentle. Try never to be heavy-handed with one another. We must treat each other with love. All of us, every single one of us, are involved in this program of love. All of us. So we prepare the ground. We plant the seed in our different ways. Hopefully not upside down if we're planting plugs. And then we care for those growing plants. But then what? What part does God have to play in this harvesting and in this growing cycle? We could call this God's miracle grow, this little bit. Second point, God's job in the field. Verse 7. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The first point here we need to recognize is this, that God is sovereign. That means God is in control. God is in control of all things. It is he that we rely on for all things. God makes the seed grow in a person's heart when we tell him about his son. You know the saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink? Well, you can plant the seed, you can care for that seed, you can make its environment good, but you can't actually make that seed grow. That is a miracle to see a plant grow. God can only do that. You can see the seed growing, but it's a miracle how it happens. We can plant all kinds of things, can't we? But only God can give the increase. Also, if we get things wrong in this early stage, then we ain't going to see, sorry, that's very Yorkshire, that we're not going to see a good crop at the end of the day. If we give the plant too much water or too little water, if we give it too much light or too little light, if you're going to give it too much heat or if you leave them too cold, the plants are going to be damaged. There's a balance to be had when growing things. And with God, his ways are always balanced. We do all we can, but God is sovereign and God is in control. And then we see also in this passage that God is good. We see every season come and go, don't we? Every year. Unfortunately, summer goes far too quick, but at least we had it for a day. But it does, it goes far too quick. God is always faithful, though, with everything that we need. Again, this year, I was really worried. Because it came September, the beginning of September, we had no haying for the animals to eat through winter. And we need our hay, because if we don't get our hay in, we're going to have to buy it, and that's going to cost us an awful lot of money. We usually get our hay in around about June or July time, And beginners get September, still no hay. I was worried sick, I really was. But God knew. And God gave us the weather that we needed, the weather that we were praying for. And thankfully in September we had a week where we were able to cut 2 fields of grass and get in the hay. So now we have everything that we need for our cows and our sheep and our horses to last them the winter. God knew that. God knew that. And the good weather came. It was a little bit late in my book, I'm afraid, but it wasn't in his book. He knew what he was doing. God is faithful again, and he provides for all of us day by day, month by month, and season by season. You know, there's some amazing things in this world which we can go and see, which we can enjoy. I had the privilege a few years ago of going with Joseph and the other guys and some of the girls from Caring for Life, and we went to America. And one of the places we visited was the Grand Canyon. Has anybody ever been to the Grand Canyon here? Isn't it an amazing sight? You've been as well. Fantastic sight. Just the sheer vastness of it, how wide it is, how deep it is. You can get on these little pack horses and go for a ride down into the valley. It takes a whole day, apparently, to get down there. I don't fancy that. I'll be walking like John Wayne for about 4 weeks, I think, by the time I get back up again. But it's just an amazing sight. Huge place. Glorious. And there are so many things like that that we can see in this world. Other people, our friends, our family members, people we know, can also bring us a lot of joy in our own lives. Yes? Can bring a lot of happiness to us. They can make us feel very special about ourselves. But you know, the best of this life, the best of the things you see in creation, the best in your friends and your family, are but a very, very poor reflection of what is to come. We get a glimpse of how great it will be when we look into the face of Jesus Christ. We get a glimpse of what real love is when we look into the face of Jesus Christ. When we look into his life and we look at his death, most importantly, when we see him in his resurrection, we see in Jesus the glory that is to come for all of us if we love him. We may see glory all around us in this universe and in this world, in creation, but most perfectly, we see the glory of God revealed through Jesus Christ, his one and only Son. Everything is about him. This whole world is about him. This life is about him. It's about Jesus. And if we love Jesus, if he is the Lord of our lives, then we should believe that God is sovereign and that he is also good. But just because those of us say who are Christians believe in sovereignty of God and the goodness of God, it doesn't mean that we can negate our responsibility in working hard for him. We have to work hard for him. The farmer who prays for a good harvest won't be blessed unless he works hard all year round, tending to his crops, looking after his animals, but with his crops, pulling the weeds, watering the ground if it's dry, and if it's wet, like we get too much of here, draining the ground as not to drown the plants. If he's not working hard all year round doing that, then he's not going to see any blessing at the end of the day. We should always be busy working for God. We should also be ready. Ready and willing to work at any time, prepared to work at any time. You know the saying, when the sun shines, make hay. We have to be ready to make hay when the sun shines. We have to be ready for the sun. If you miss the sun, you've got a missed opportunity, and it's a wasted opportunity. So just because God blesses you doesn't mean that you don't need to work. No, we need to work all the year round. So for all of us, as it is for those who work in the field or in a garden, it is the same for us in the church. We want to see a harvest, but the harvest we want to see is a spiritual harvest. We want to see a spiritual harvest in our own lives. We want to see a spiritual harvest in the life of our churches. But most importantly, we want to see a spiritual harvest to those we love in the world, don't we? Verse 8 says this, "The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his labour." We won't ever see souls won for the kingdom of God, and we won't ever see our friends and family members won for Jesus if we don't work together. If we don't labour together as one body with the same goals in mind. We don't work against each other. And the goal is this, to minister Christ's love, ultimately leading people to our Saviour. We want to see people coming into Jesus' kingdom. That's what we want more than anything, isn't it? I think we would all agree, those of us that love him, to know the love of Jesus in their hearts, for their hearts to be filled with joy and peace, and to know that liberating forgiveness of sins, to know that when you stand before God, you're going to be standing clean and nothing's going to be hanging over you. Isn't that glorious? That's what we want through our labours, through our hard work. And that brings me to my final point, the joy of the harvest. Back on the farm, it's always such a relief, Joseph will agree, when we get our hay in, the last lot of hay, we've got it in the barn. We often sit on top of the stack and we'll eat pizzas and chips and burgers and chips and have a drink and have a real laugh, don't we, yeah? Because we're so relieved, we're so happy that we've got it in. We don't care if it chucks it down with rain. If the thunder comes and the lightning comes, we're happy because it's all inside the barn, safe and sound. At Caring for Life, where I work, we have so many things that we harvest through the year. Lots of different things that we grow and we harvest. We've got the beef and lamb that we produce all year round. We have the silage and the straw, like I've already said, and the hay. We've got wild fruits and berries and herbs. These kind of things we make jams from, which we sell in our shop. We've got lots of vegetables that we grow as well. Lots of different types of vegetables. We have sticks that we make for shepherd's crook making that our woodwork team can produce. We have so very much to be thankful for. God is always faithful to us at Caring for Life. It's difficult, but he always provides for all of our needs. But most importantly, and this is at the heart of our work in Leeds, he has provided us with people. A harvest of people. People who need our love, need our care, people who have been deeply hurt, people who are distressed, people who have nobody else in their lives to love them or care for them, and people who need to experience the love of Jesus Christ in their lives, people who need a gentle, caring touch, people who need nurturing and protecting. All of us that love Christ should remember to seize every day for him. Our call is to have that love and to give that love which Christ has given to us, to take every opportunity. I believe the results will be amazing if we do that. But lastly, harvest time is all about giving to others, as you have set an example here. God laid down very strict rules about giving in the Bible. And at the very beginning of the Bible, in the Old Testament, there's a passage in Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 24, God says this, starting at verse 19. He says, "When you are harvesting in your field and you overlook a sheaf, do not go back and get it. Leave it for the alien, the fatherless, and the widow, so the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. When you beat the olives from your trees, do not go over the branches a second time. Leave what remains for the alien, the fatherless, and the widow. When you harvest the grapes in your vineyard, do not go over the vines again. Leave what remains for the alien, the fatherless, and the widow. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt. That is why I command you to do this." God cares for the needy. God has a special place for the poor in his heart. God cares for the have-nots in this society. Jesus, too, was also very clear in his call to us to go out and care for the needy and the poor. And we have to take that call very, very seriously. So whatever you have, share it. Whatever you've got, use it for God. Use it for his glory. We have a God who is compassionate and kind. We had a God who is a God of love. That's why he gave Jesus his son for us. And we should maybe remember that we have, especially have in this country, because we've been given. We have a harvest field in front of us. All of us do. Our harvest field is out there in the communities around here. The people we rub shoulders with every day of our lives. Luke 10 says this in the New Testament, the Gospel of Luke, verse 2. "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." You're the workers, and that's your harvest field out there. You need to go out because it's waiting for you. It's ready for you. It's ready for me. We have to ask ourselves, are we ready for it? Are we ready for the challenge ahead of us? But those of us that are believers that love the Lord Jesus Christ need to remember this. You're taking a message into that world. And it's a life-changing message. It's an earth-stopping, spine-tingling, heart-stopping message of hope. It's a message of love. It's a rescuing message. We can sum it up in this passage, probably the most famous passage in the Bible, and that's John 3:16 and 17. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." That is the great news of the gospel, the greatest news of all, that Jesus came from heaven to earth for you and for me. He came not to condemn you or to judge you for all the things that you get wrong in this life, but he came to save you. That's a life-changing message. And you can have eternal life through him because he loves you. Because he loves you so very much. So I say to you this morning, turn to Jesus Christ. Give your life to him. Know this Saviour's peace. Know the joy and love that only Jesus can give in your lives. That is the glory of John 3:16. So go and minister with all your different skills and with all your different gifts. Share Jesus' love with one another here. Share his love with everybody you come into contact with in this world. And be ready and willing to work hard together. And you will see amazing things for his glory. May God bless to you his word.